At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Obviously, the other, you know, big red flag, other thing that's still, you know, hanging off here are two more people. We got Wendy and we got Harvey and we got Georgia saying, stay tuned.
Yeah.
Let's start with Wendy. What new things came out in this trial, in this round, that may, you know, push the everything over the edge for her, where they may end up going after her and charging her? Do you think there was enough that pushes it that far? Or did they even need anything to come out in trial? They've just been sitting on it, waiting for this to wrap up.
I mean, it could be all those things. Like, honestly, yeah. There were definitely some new things that came in. I mean, even if you go to Luis Rivera when in his testimony, I mean, mm-hmm. his statement on the stand in this trial was different. Mm-hmm. You know, he firmly hung it on Wendy, mm-hmm. you know, which I'm sure Wendy didn't appreciate Donna's attorneys eliciting on the stand, you know, because she knew because she had the transcript, you know, mm-hmm. she had deposed him. So she knew that he was going to say that. And then you just had some other damning text messages come in. You have, you know, there's things that came in that I think are going to be able to be used against her that aren't going to fall under the immunity deal that she has, which is use immunity and derivative use immunity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always been pessimistic about whether or not they had enough on Wendy alone, but it's always kind of been my theory, and it's the same thing that happened with Donna, is the fact that they now have the two hitmen, they have the go-between, they have the brother who set it up, and they have the mother who paid for it. That's all part of this narrative in a case against Wendy, and it's incredibly powerful, because the hardest thing for people to even try to reconcile, to get them to buy the concept that there could be a world in which Wendy exists and she has no fucking clue what these people are doing. Like, I get in the debates, and I love devil's advocating that side of it. You know, it's like, I've, like, my buddy Jay, he's like obsessed with Wendy Adelson. And, you know, but I'm like, from the defense attorney's perspective, these are the ways that I would tack these things. Mm-hmm. But when you have the way, like I said, when Georgia knocks down the dominoes and you have that backstory, and then again, you slide in these pieces of evidence, because her driving by the crime scene at a seemingly really inconvenient, inopportune time for Wendy, if you're worried about being arrested down the road, is damning. The fact that she's changing the kids' names, the fact that you have Lacoste, which to me, it was one of the bigger smoking gun things, talking about her pulling the art down 4 days before the hit takes place. It's like those types of things, again, in and of themselves alone, if I were to write them down on a piece of paper and said, hey, Tony, you think we should go prosecute this woman based on this evidence? You'd probably say, well, can we get more?
Well, I agree, but I wonder if Georgia has some more things under her sleeve that we don't know about yet. I'm sure,
you know,
because there's so many things you look at here, and you just, with what's out there, you're kind of left with, Wendy knew something was going to happen that day. That feels like a pretty sure bet to me, that Wendy knew something was going to happen that day. What exactly was going to happen that day? I don't know that we know the answer to. Maybe George does. But as far as everything that's come out, it always kind of ends about there. she certainly, the way she was arranging plans, the way she was canceling trips, all of that, the draw, everything points to she knew something was going on. But what did she know was going on? And that's going to be the part that they're going to have to try and prove if, in fact, they do charge Wendy. Do you think charges are imminent?
Stacey, what do you think?
Thanks, Bob. My question is, what kind of immunity do you think she's been granted? Because she's shown up in every one of these trials, has she not?
Yeah.
So to me, I feel like, and I'm not in the legal field, but I feel like they've come to her and said, we've got some shit on you, girl. You got to talk.
So
how does that work? Can you explain that part?
Yeah, they've given her in each of the trials what they call use immunity. And use immunity is essentially that anything that she testifies to at trial cannot be used against her in terms of trying to convict her. So, and what derivative use immunity is say that she said something on the stand that was new, all right, that Georgia's like, oh, wow, that's new. And then that particular piece of information leads them to something else in terms of evidence that is derivative of what she testified to. So they wouldn't be able to use that either. So, but like the main things, but George is very, very smart.
Yes.
And she tailors her direct examinations of Wendy very, very carefully. And what she does is she has Wendy get up there and say these things so that, because Georgia doesn't care if she's going to go after Wendy, Wendy can get up on the stand and lie all day. And Georgia frankly loves that because that is sworn testimony when and if she arrests Donna and they're going to take her to trial, everything she then testified to in all of the prior proceedings that are a lie can come in. Okay. So that like the lies are not covered by use immunity. So like that kind of thing is just, she's played this and it's such a difficult case in terms of Wendy, because they really don't have that kind of smoking gun. They have some incredibly powerful and compelling evidence when you put it together in terms of the puzzle, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there's just some things with her that if you were to ask me, do I think that at this point in time that Georgia would be able to convince a jury that Wendy was absolutely a part of this? Yes, I do. I really do. And I was not there prior to Donna's trial. But, you know, as she keeps building these convictions up, and just keeps fleshing out the full narrative and just like little factoids, new factoids come out in every trial. And like you said, Tone, we have no idea what she knows about, because what she knows about Wendy and her involvement, because that kind of stuff doesn't come in at these trials.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how much she has been able to gather. Obviously when she gets Donna's phone post arrest, and we heard her say it, her being Georgia, talking about when they got Donna's phone, you know, that they were able to get some of these WhatsApp discussions. Mm-hmm. So Georgia knows what she has.
Yeah.
And she knows exactly, you know, what she needs to get this done. And she's probably going to take a breather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, she knows at this point, Wendy's got the kids. She's not gonna be able to go anywhere without the world knowing about it. Like, sure. Wendy is under the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of Georgia handling her other cases that she's got, you know, because Georgia's a busy prosecutor, she doesn't just have the case. She's got tons of cases that she has to deal with. So, you know, and you earmark that much time, and I'm sure she's consulting with the Markells, you know, and she's telling Ruth, she's like, look, you know, like what is your time frame on this? I mean, are you good if I wait a year? You know, because everybody's like, oh, as soon as the trial's over, they're going to arrest her. I'm like, you just don't understand how this business works. It's like Georgia's a very, very busy person. She's got many, many cases on her dockets. It can't, and the office is only so big,
You know? Yeah, I mean, unless Wendy tries to flee, I don't think that's it's necessarily going to be this week. I don't remember a lie.
How do you remember lies? You know,
that because obviously that was half of her testimony.
No. Some people are very, very good at remembering lies. I got a family full of them.
I mean, but they're always going to make a mistake. They might be able to remember a big lie. I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't do this or I didn't do that. Fine. But when is the lie where the devil's in the details? No one's that good at it. No one. I mean, you know what I'm saying, Stacey? You can if it's a big lie, yeah, all right, you can remember that. But when it is a lie that has details to it and can be picked apart and you start digging in on it, people just are not good with detailed lies. It's hard to remember it all.
So to all of the things that Wendy said, I don't remember to understand. Can that be looked at, or could certain things be looked at as a lie? If they can go back and go, well, look, you said right here, you knew the answer to this question. But on the stand, I mean, I could have said something last week and I don't remember I said it, and I could say I don't remember. And I could honestly be saying I don't remember saying that, even though you have evidence that I did. Is that then a lie, though, if you don't remember it when you're being directly questioned about it?
Only if you can impeach her on it that she actually did know the answer. You know, but time wise, it has to be more current in time, because I think that there is absolutely a possibility that 11 years ago, shit that was going down that she doesn't remember.
Sure.
So, I mean, I can barely remember. Like, if you were to ask me what I ate last Tuesday, there's not a chance in hell that I'd be able to remember it. Now, the counter to that is, okay, well, Bob, you weren't, you know, in the commission of having somebody murdered. So that was just a nondescript thing that you did. But I mean, the one thing to me that is somewhat evident is that whatever involvement that Wendy had in this conspiracy, that she certainly wasn't a major player in it in terms of the planning. That seemed to be taken care of by her loving brother and her loving mother. And, you know, so I think that there's this aspect of, because I hope we're going to get into some of them Jeff LaClosse thing. Like, some people are like of the mindset that like Jeff, they really like this, that she was trying to set him up as the patsy type thing. And I know Jeff believes that, but and I believe a vast majority of what Jeff says, but I also am cognizant of the fact that Jeff is a man scorned, you know, so you have to factor that in a little bit. Do I think that he's so scorned that he's going to go in there and make shit up? Absolutely not. But do I think that skews the way that he's observing things because he was hurt by her?
Sure.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I mean, things like she took the pictures down.
What blows me away about the whole idea that they were going to try and frame Jeff for the murder of where were you that day and all that, it just seems so short-sighted. Now, I mean, keep in mind, these are the people who put money in the washing machine with Tide Pods. So anything is possible. They don't seem like the wisest bunch of folks. But if you're going to go and commit a murder, I would think you're going to kind of have your alibi plan or your scapegoat or who you're going to blame for this when people come questioning you, if you're going to say anything. And it's not just going to be, well, turns out your boyfriend drove by there the other day. Let's just say he did it. I mean, that just seems to be the thick of what their alibi was going to be if they could have gotten the attention over to Jeff LaClosse.
Yeah, I mean, that's where my problem is with the whole Jeff LaClosse thing. It's like it's either the shittiest alibi of all time. I can't make it.
But they laundered money in the washing machine.
she's a very literal woman, Tony. She takes everything literally. But like for the LaClosse thing, I mean, so he's supposed to be traveling out of town. And they're trying to just coordinate it. They think that it's going to be enough at any point in time that he just happened to be in the area where this thing went
down. Stunningly stupid.
And what's his motive?
Yeah.
She's already divorced from Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Dan already has, he's in a different relationship with a different woman. Like what about the situation in and of itself makes Wendy, Charlie, and Donna think that the cops would think that he was a person of interest, aside from him being in town?
I 1000% agree with you, but these are also the people that think no one's going to be the wiser when she's running money through the washing machine, signing 44 checks, all the bump, everything, the litany of shit that you're like, well, this is obvious shit. Like, come on. Like, if you're going to do this, let's at least not, you know, completely, you know, put ourselves out there and show our guilt. There's so much of it. I mean, it's stunningly stupid, but they have been stunningly stupid throughout this entire thing.
Dude, I mean, everybody says that and it's true, but it's really, really hard to get away with a crime like this.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yes, dude, it's like easy for us to all.
Oh, sure. I'm sure.
Monday morning quarterback.
It's like they didn't even try. It just feels like they didn't even try. It's like
they got away with it for 2 years before they were able to figure out the rental car situation and you know, and then there's a long, long passage of time where they kind of in their minds, because when you listen to the bump shit and you're listening or you're reading, you know, either the text or the conversations between Charlie and Donna after the bump happens and you're sitting there, and Charlie's just, it takes him a half an hour to fucking, like, for it to even dawn on him that his mother's talking about this thing that happened with Dan. You know what I mean? When you're listening to, because you can kind of, you can read it when they were showing the transcripts of it, where he kind of, the light goes off in his head. You know, I mean, they were just, I think that they honestly thought that they had somehow gotten away with this.
Well, the investigation, yes, it certainly did take a long time to get from where they started to where they are today. But is that a reflection because the Adelsons were that good, or is that because the investigation was that slow or that bad? Or did it have the resources that it needed to make this move faster? I mean, what is that a reflection of, really?
I think I certainly don't think it's a reflection on a bad investigation. I mean, like this is frankly in a cases are hard to solve. You know what I mean? Like this is where we're not talking about movies here where shit's every click. They essentially had to be able to figure out in terms of using the video of when Dan is driving around and they're able to pinpoint this fucking Prius.
Yeah,
you know, and they're like, all right, because really that was it. You know, because they talked to everybody initially. You know, they're obviously in the way that victimology works when cops, when they're investigating a crime, they start always from the inner circle and work their way out in concentric circles. You know, I mean, they're always going to, because usually you're killed by somebody you know.
Sure.
You know, so they're always going to start in there. So in terms of the investigation, I thought that they did amazing work.
Yeah.
And like I can't tell you how much I love the concept of the bump, because it's exactly what that is. You know, we're giving this thing a little bump. We need to get these fucking people talking about this case again. Yeah. And it was really an ingenious way to entrap them into like talking about this case. You know, with one another. They needed, too much time had passed, and that was such a little, you could have called it the nudge. I'm like, wait, are they doing key bumps of cocaine? What's going on? You know, or so, yeah, I think that it was ultimately just a case that they needed to investigate, and it was going to take time. And then once they got Luis, once they figured out, once they were finally able to figure out who rented that car, which is a lot of legwork. You're watching all the videos from all the businesses and all the areas that Dan was driving. You have you're like writing down and you're trying to see what type of car it is. You're doing your best to try to figure out the year, make, model, all that shit in otherwise pretty grainy videos. And then at that point, you're going to do what they always do, which is go to rental car companies. If you've got a situation where you're thinking, all right, this appears to be random in the sense that we don't think that any of the family members are the ones who pulled the trigger. I don't think that Jeff was ever actually on their radar at all. I think mm-hmm. that he was a person that they wanted to talk to for various reasons, but I think he was checked off the list very, very quickly after his interview. So at that point, they're thinking, all right, you know, and like Wendy's shit in her interview, we're like, yeah, there could be a lot of people who want to kill Dan, like anybody you may have given F to in law school or, and you can't dismiss it. I mean, I had a client named Anthony Garcia that was fired from his, residency in law and medical school. And he came back, he's convicted of coming back and killing the two people that fired him. So mm-hmm. people do fucking insane things. So, yeah. I mean, I guess in their minds, but eventually you land on, we're going to go to all the rental car companies. We're going to find out which ones had Priuses or vehicles that looked very similar to it and are similar in color and get a list of all the people that rented those vehicles. So, I mean, they had a lot of legwork to do and, sure. and they did it well. And, you know, the problem was, is that for some of the early conversations, you're just never going to get them because they're just not going to exist anymore. You're not going to have the devices to be able to do the extractions. And it predates like everything going up into the cloud the way that it does now. You know what I'm saying? Like there was no way they were going to be able to get back the potential smoking gun stuff that was taking place at the time when they were trying to get it done. Because, I mean, at that point, all they had was really Wendy's phone.
Yeah.
You know, and we all know that Wendy was at least smart enough to stay the fuck out of the fray in terms of the conversations.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.